a mighty clap. Come on. Just by faith, receive the healing. God is a miracle working God. How many of you know we are called to serve the Lord? Part of our Christian walk is, you know, in Colossians it says, the Lord took us from the kingdom of darkness and he put in the kingdom of light. We came out from a very dark place into the place of light. That's why as a believer, you're either in the darkness or in the light. You cannot be in a gray area. As a believer, that you cannot be in and out. You have to be fully for Jesus or you're not. If you're in between that, you're in a very in a very shaky place. So as a believer, when the Lord saved us, when God called us, he called us from darkness into light. And this is a powerful passage that I want to kind of dive into, then we'll pray. Is in the when God called the people of Israel out of the bondage, God gave an assignment to Moses at the beginning and said, tell my people they have to leave their bondage, come and worship me. God called the people of Israel out of darkness. God called the people of Israel for out of bondage they've been living for years. And as the Lord called the people of Israel out, and in Exodus chapter 1, verse 8, Exodus 8, 1, you will see this expression of God's voice. Moses will go before the Pharaoh and say, Pharaoh, let my people go. Then Pharaoh will ask why. He said, because God's people has to leave the bondage. They have to serve the Lord in their promised land. Somebody say, serve the Lord. They have to, the Israel have to serve the Lord. An expression of, of God is asking Pharaoh to let his people go because they have to serve the Lord. And you see this promise again. Joshua reminds his people before the end of his life. How many of you know, whatever you say before you die is very important. Because either it's especially older ones, stay around them because you might get some inheritance from them. Who knows, they might give you all the will. I'm just kidding. But, and when Joshua, before he ends his ministry, he gave a powerful charge. Somebody say charge. Powerful assignment and commission to people of Israel. He said, as we have served the Lord, as we come out from the bondage of, Egypt, the Lord, if it is good for you, in Joshua 24 verse 15, he said, now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity, in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the day of the river and in the Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it seems evil to you, serve the Lord, and choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, and whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of Amorites in those lands. But Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua he gave a charge to people of Israel and said, choose what you want before you. Either you serve the Lord or you don't serve the Lord. My friend, serving the Lord is always come a place of a choice. Serving the Lord is always has to be like, in a place that you have to choose to serve the Lord. And before we dive into that, there's a few dynamic I want to share this morning. I want to entitle my message, a very short message, probably 5 minutes I'll preach, I'll finish or whatever. No, I don't know, but a short message. This is my title of the message. You are empowered to serve Jesus. You are empowered to serve Jesus. As a believer, in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you are empowered with the power of the Holy Spirit. When he comes on you, when he's in you, it's for your sake. But when the Holy Spirit comes on you, somebody say, Holy Spirit comes on me. Somebody say, Holy Spirit, come on me. Just come and rest on me. When the Holy Spirit comes and rests on you, the Holy Spirit gives you ability and power to serve the Lord. Amen. And our ability to serve God, our ability to do the works of the Lord, it does not just come for our strength. We make a choice, but there's something called the grace of God. There's something called the ability of God that which is empower us to do the things that God wants us to do. Somebody say, the grace of God. If I would ask Brother Vincent, I would almost say Brother Reuben, Brother Vincent, why do you do the Gideon ministry? All this is, why do you do that? If I have to ask Some of you, I've asked Joyce, who comes early in the morning, set up the media and all throughout the week, why are you serving the Lord? Why are you doing this? If I have to ask Pastor Betty, Pastor Raju to be serving for a long time, why are you doing this? If I have asked some of you who have been serving faithfully, why are you doing this? Why are you serving the Lord? I'm sure their answer would be, God enabled me to do it. It is God who chose me. Oftentimes we hear this, God, you know, God doesn't choose the one who's most qualified within, you know, around us, but God always chooses the one that's available, make themselves available to the service and say, here I am, Lord, and God uses them. Amen. And I'm sure, you know, you see over the life, people that God have used powerfully, you know, their posture, you know, the posture of their heart has always been to serve the Lord. It's always to what? To serve the Lord. And you have heard this from this house all the time. When you serve God, when you take care of God's business, God will take care of your business. And I believe this morning, as we end the series of serving, you know, serving unto the Lord, I want to touch a little bit on the heart. You know, as God empowers to serve, it comes from a place that your heart, the posture of your heart to serve the Lord. Amen. And we look at Jesus, you know, look at Jesus, Son of God, who was, you know, he was seated, you know, he's the most powerful person. He's a son that was on, you know, he doesn't have to come to earth. There's no need for him to come, but the Father said, for this reason, I'll give my son to the earth. Why? He, the Father gave the Son for us on the cross, so that the Son, that Jesus can serve the Father on the cross. And he saw, what was Jesus' joy for him serving? What was Jesus' joy? Why did Jesus die on the cross first? Why? What was the attitude of his heart to serve the Father? It's none other than you and I. You and I were the joy, the posture of Jesus' heart to go to the cross, not just to finish his task, but it was us. It was the love posture that he had. For God so loved the world, for God so loved you and I, that he gave his only begotten Son on the cross for us. Amen. Why? The posture of his heart to serve the Father was to love us. To love us. And that's the most powerful posture that you can serve the Lord from. You know, it's just a love. It's a posture that you want to love the Lord. You love the Lord, therefore you serve. That's why in John chapter 15, you see Jesus saying, Father, I love you. You know, I love my Father. My Father loves me. And then John chapter 17, towards the end of the ministry, he said, Father, I've done all the works you asked me to do. I've served you the way you want me to. If you want to serve the Lord, you know, when you serve the Lord, you will know how to love. When you love, you will serve the Lord. And Jesus said this two dynamic. Jesus just didn't say, I love you, and just was singing song and just ended his ministry. Jesus, what Jesus said, I love you, Father, therefore I will bear my cross. And I'll show people how much you love them. Let your love manifest through me and let that love, you know, touch lives. And he went on the cross for us. Amen. That should be the posture of the believers, of the body of Christ. That we serve God because he first loved us. 1 John chapter 4 verse 19. He said, he loved us first while we were still sinners. While we were in our sinning condition, love reached out to us. And let that be our attitude of our, when we begin to understand, when we begin to ask the Lord, give me a heart like yours to serve you, serve the house, serve the city, and serve the nation. What happens? Love as a power to redeem, love as a power to impact lives. Amen. And it's out of that attitude of love that Jesus served. You know, oftentimes, you know, I just say this. I mean, just recently the Holy Spirit told me, like, Johnny, do you know that, you know, serving or leadership without compassion, without the heart of compassion, is just like an entitlement. Every serving of towards the Lord, you know, has to come from a place of love. A famous quote I read recently, have you learned to love? Have you learned to love? Because the Lord said this, you know, what is the greatest commandment in the New Testament? What is the greatest commandment in the New Testament? Love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You know, the other translation says all your strength. That means if we love the Lord with all your heart, we serve the Lord with all our heart. If the Lord love the Lord with all your mind, is it possible that you serve the Lord with your mind? Giving your full attention to the Lord. With all your strength. You know, with everything you have, you serve the Lord. And my friend, it is the love posture that you serve. Lord, I love you, therefore I serve you. What happens when you posture your heart? Lord, I love you, therefore I want to serve you. And I'll get back, I'll tell you what serving looks like. But when you posture your heart, Lord, I love you, Lord, I serve you. What happens is you and God, you and Jesus will have this history together. You and Jesus start having this personal conversation, a personal journey with him. That's why Jesus was able to say, Father, I have finished. Why? Jesus' hearts were responded to the love and the call of God over his life. So when you minister, when you serve God, when you live from a place of loving the Lord, knowing that your love for God is where you are serving from, you'll create a personal history with God. That's what God called Moses. Moses, come. Let me have a personal encounter with you. Service unto the Lord is a place of encountering the nature of God. My friend, church, listen to me. Look at me. How many of you love reading the Bible? Are you correct, church, on this one? 1, 2, 3. How many of you love worshiping the Lord? Okay, the rest of you, bless you. If you don't have Bible, look for Uncle Vincent. You see, when we encounter the Lord when we worship the Lord. You know, God lifts up. You know, you see the Lord in the Spirit. When you read the Word, you encounter the Lord. And the way you encounter the Lord in the Word is very different than worship the Lord. Let me tell you something. There's a way, there's a part of God. It is revealed only when you serve Him. When you serve God, there's a part of God, the heartbeat of God, you start to experience like never before. I remember, you know, in the early days, Athens and I, back when we were really old, you know, when we were, you know, we used to take bus from Desa Cimbalang, and then we get out at Johor Bahru, the city, and then from the city, we'll take another bus to hospital. From hospital, back then, Athens used to have a hard case guitar with a hard case. It's very heavy, you know. It's like, I don't know why he carried that, but he likes to carry that. And it's very heavy. At times, you know, because we are coming together, I have to carry together with him. You know, you'll go like this. I say, okay, let me carry. For almost 2 years, no exaggeration, almost 2 years, Athens and I used to carry that, you know, and walk towards Abia from down the year. And we will serve Saturday and we'll sleep in the church on Saturday and do another service on Sunday. Now, the posture of our heart when we served, when we loved, were never so that I can be a preacher. Never. In fact, I thought to myself, I cannot preach. Some of you are like, Pastor, you talk, you never finish one. I also think so. I don't know why. Like, I just love talking, you know. Anyway, so posture was never like, oh, I'm going to be a leader one day. No, never. My posture was, Lord, I love you. You carried the cross for me. Wouldn't I carry this case for you, Lord? So when we posture our heart in a place of love and sacrifice, how many of you know you cannot love without sacrificing? Brother Francis went like that. Yeah. You cannot love without sacrificing. If you're saying you love, you don't sacrifice, it's something need to worked out there, right? So we carried the bag and over the years we did, you know, and sleeping on the floor, we didn't ask for anything. We sleep, you know, and then we play the keys, you know, every morning you play and the pastor go like, you know, slow down. Pastor say loud and then we say, okay, we play. And then so those days we used to have our worship sets, right? We used to have like 8 to 9 songs. 8 to 9 songs and used to sing and 2 services. By the time you went back, go back home, you think whether you are actually alive or not. And after that, you take an afternoon nap, and then evening pastor say, "I saw a vision. There's an evening service." And we go like, "How come we didn't see anything, pastor?" You know, and all we saw was, you know, rest. And then again, you because you love, you know how to submit to authority and serve the house, you make the vision of the house powerful. So Jesus came not to actually show himself as a son of God. He said, he took the lowest form of service. Love always sacrifices. Love takes the most lowest form. If you're taking the highest form, it's not love, it's pride. But love goes to the lowest form to serve. And Jesus, that's what Jesus said, did. And pastor was saying, "Oh, we're going to have a Bible school, Bible study after service." 2 services, matto, like, you know, your eyes are, you know, after eating biryani at Yasin. Those days, remember, Samjee, eat biryani, you are like, all you want to do is sleep. Now, you know, there's a Bible teacher, I don't want to mention name, but teaching you, you know, and your eyes goes like this. Like some of your eyes right now. It goes like this. But in those moments, my friend, we encounter the Lord. In this moment of, like, God, I'm tired. God, I feel... You know, it's not that they promise if you go through all this, you'll be a, you know, you'll be a pastor of this church. Nothing of that. But have you seen Pastor Rajan will never tell you something that's going to come. You know, it's like he doesn't actually, he compliments, but he doesn't celebrate you too early. You know, it doesn't. It's not that he does. Okay, don't get me wrong, he does. But you know, you do all this thing. You serve not because we have to, but the posture of heart should be: I serve the Lord because I get to serve the Lord. I get to do this. I get to be here. I get to hold the mic. I get to worship the Lord. I get to come to church. Why? Because it's a privilege and honor to serve the greatest King of all. Everybody say. Amen. Can you give the Lord a mighty clap? Come on. The posture is to love. And when you know how to love, when you learn to love, when you get into a moment, your heart posture, "Lord, I love you." Nobody has to tell you. It's just like suddenly, you know, when love kicks in, you know what happens? Your spiritual gifting started working. That's why Paul said, above all this thing, love is all your spiritual gifts are amazing. But when you love, you'll walk into a different dimension of the gifting. That's why Paul looked at Timothy and said, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, for time's sake, he said, you know, do not despise the prophecy that was given to you through laying of hands, but through the prophecy, let the progression of your life, somebody say progression. Let the progression of your serving and your call be evident to all men. That means Paul is saying that in serving the Lord, how many of you have heard this message for 1,000 times? I've heard it. Serve the Lord, serve the Lord, serve the Lord, serve the Lord. But what the Lord is trying to say, the Lord is telling us again to serve. That means there is a progression to your anointing. There's a progression to your serving. There's some kind of level and deeper way, I know, of anointing and of service the Lord wants to bring you and I. Amen. That's why the Lord is saying, you know, we're hearing the, you know, the message we heard. The Lord says, come back to the heart of serve. Takes to the heart of serve. Let me take you a little further. And then Paul writes and said, when you serve the Lord, don't serve unto man, but serve unto me. Do it as a service unto the Lord. So what Paul is saying is, when you are serving the Lord, you are not looking for, you know, anything, but you are doing unto God who sees you in the secret place and will reward you openly. Somebody say, amen. And you know, and the service of the Lord, if the service of the Lord has to do with the posture of our heart to love Him and to serve, that means service, servicing God, giving to God, serving Him is not limited by doing ushering. Service, you know, serving God is not limited by singing a song. I want to suggest to you, service, you know, serving God becomes a lifestyle. It has to become a lifestyle. For all the businessmen that is in the house, serve the Lord through your business. For all the doctors in the house, serve the Lord through your medical profession. To all the mothers in the house, serve the Lord in your house. To all the fathers, to husband, serve your wife as unto the Lord. To the wife, to the husband, serve the Lord. Serve your wife as unto the Lord. Serve your husband and wife, whatever, I forgot. Unto the Lord. I know you get what I'm talking about. I'm just trying to mess because some of you are sleeping, you know. So our posture is to serve. Why we posture our heart to serve? Listen, church. Everything in our life, Proverbs chapter 4 says, flow from the overflow of your heart. Everything has to do with your heart, you know. You look at somebody and you say it's from the attitude of your heart. When you are giving, it's the attitude of your heart. That's why Paul said, when you give, don't do, I have to. If you have a language of a heart, God, actually your heart needs to be healed. If you go like, then you have to check your heart. God, what is actually wrong with my heart? Or what do I need, Lord? What are you saying to my heart? Because, church, you cannot ignore the condition of your heart. You have to wait unto the Lord and say, Lord, what is my heart responding? So that's what Paul said, don't give unto the Lord. Don't, in another word, you know, he's saying that don't serve from compulsion, but willingly, cheerfully. So when you are, your posture of your heart before the Lord has to be, Lord, I do this because I love you. And love involves sacrifice. Love involves time. Love involves, you know, you just read, you know, Corinthians, right? You know, it's not self-seeking, but, you know, giving away. Can you give until, you know, God, you know, until you feel the pain of giving? It's okay. Just keep giving. Keep serving. Why? Because when you love from your heart, somebody gets impacted by their life, your life. It's impossible, church. Look at me. It's impossible for you to love and not somebody don't feel impacted by your love. Because love has a language. Would you serve God with your emotions? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Have you seen some ashes that never smile? I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. Serve the Lord with your emotion. What is emotion God has given you? Love. Joy, peace. You know, I went for a wedding. This is a funny story. I went for a wedding. The pastor was doing the wedding, you know. I tell you, I felt so scared because the pastor was so serious. Today, we are anointing. And I was thinking, I was not making fun of him, but I was like, I feel sorry for the couple because it's really sad right now because they're getting married. How many of you know God gives our emotion to serve one another? You serve, you love, tell somebody, what you have something to give. Love always give. Give somebody a compliment. Say, I'm so good to see you this morning in church. Thank you for serving. I know, when you love on somebody, when you compliment somebody, when you serve, you know, give the sanctified, when you love people, through your emotion, what happens is, you know, that person get impacted by the love of God. Not just your labor, just not doing, but with your emotions, with your heart, you serve the Lord. I'd rather be a man, I oftentimes tell Pastor Derek, I'd rather be a man that live from my heart than live from a place of performance. Performing to love or whatever. No, you learn how to love. How do you learn how to love others? Know that His love for you is constant, is unconditional. He loves you. The banner over you is love. That's the place that you, Lord, thank you for the love. Therefore, I want to serve you. For 2 years, right, Athens and I were serving. In that moment, I remember I'll go back to school. So exhausted, you know, to school. However, in the morning, church, in the mornings when I sit with the Lord, or when I even sit before the recess, the presence of God will become very tangible. I'll tell you something. I used to bring my Bible. I know I still bring my Bible around. And when I was from one, from two, I'll bring my Bible, put it on under the desk, and I'll take it in the morning during recess, and I'll just read. This is after serving. Why? When you serve the Lord, the greatest reward you can have, like God told Abraham, Abraham, I am your great exceeding reward. His presence. God's presence become tangible. God's closeness. You experience the closeness of God when you serve Him. When you serve Him. When you serve the Lord, there's something that your heart become a burning bush together with God. Nobody has to see that. It's just you and God. God has empowered you to serve. Because in that place of serving, I remember just, you know, sitting during my Reah time and just worshiping the Lord with my Bible. And the Lord will begin to speak to me about nations. God will speak to me, I'm anointing you for nation. I'll make you disciple. It's in that place, posture of, Lord, I love you. Therefore, I serve you, Lord. And making God, seek ye first the kingdom of God. All this thing will be added to you. Making Him as your priority, like making Him number one. Making the house of God number one, the work of God number one. I tell you, I promise you, I've seen this through my family. God will give you back everything that you invest in the house of God in hundredfold. In hundredfold. So the question, right? You should ask this question. God, we've been hearing last 4 weeks, you want us to serve. The question you should ask the Lord, Lord, how do you want me to serve? Where do you want me to serve? You're already serving. Ask the Lord, what is the next thing? What's the next level? What is the progression of my serving towards you, Lord? And some of you might like, you know, Pastor, we don't really know. I don't know how to do media. I was just telling the first service, imagine all of us on the stage worshiping the Lord, who's going to sit here? You know, if everybody is, you know, playing drums, you know, nobody's going to. So according to each of us, grace has been given to her to multiply. God has given to us. All of us have a grace that God has given to you. Somebody say, I have a grace to serve the Lord. Come on. All right. For years, I'll tell you this and then we'll do communion. For years, you know, I always thought I cannot preach or I cannot pray for the sick for years. Because somebody told me, somebody back in the, when I was young, I told me that if you want to, you know, if you want to see people get healed, you actually need a special grace for that. So I took that theology and put it in my mind. I said, I need a special grace for heal the sick. For years, when I pray for the sick, they will never see get healed. Now, I never saw anybody get healed. But the moment I read the word, you know, when I was in Bible school, I began to read the word. But the Bible didn't say anything like that. It said, whoever believes in the Lord will make great works. John chapter 14, it said, he looked at Uncle Vincent 2,000 years ago and said, if you were there, God to Jesus would say, Vincent, if you'd have believed in me, you would do greater works than I did. Jesus healed the sick, cast out demons. This is the Bible, okay? He raised the dead. And Jesus telling us, you actually can tap into a dimension. You can do more than what I've done. And for years, I believe, right? I cannot pray for the sick. You know, I'm not good enough. My life is da-da-da-da-da-da. And when I was reading Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, whether you are ready or not, you shall be a witness unto the Lord. When that struck my spirit, when I went to Africa, right? I was, you know, traveling Africa for 3 months. I went on a date with the Holy Spirit. Just took my bag as a Bible school student. I said, I'm just going by faith. I think I had $50 in my pocket. And I went to the airport. Somebody walks into the airport and said, hey, you are Jonathan. I said, yes. Actually, the Lord showed us in the dream that you say a brown man will come and we are supposed to come to the airport. And they picked me up. The rest of the story is just like, you know, it's just a story, you know, I can tell you. And when I was in Africa, I'll stand in the slums and I'll say, Lord, I don't know if people are going to get healed, but I'm just going to put you on the spot. And I shouted with a mic and said, if you want to be healed, Jesus want to heal you. Against my understanding, against what I felt, I declared the word of the Lord. Because God is not gonna forget His word. Because the Bible says, go into the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demon, and make disciple of all nations. And I took the word and I said, Lord, whether you show up or not, I'm just gonna do it. And I know throughout the 3 days, about 5,000 people came to know Jesus in that slums. Why? That's a grace in your life that kicks in when you step out and say, Lord, I'm not qualified, but I'm going to step into that grace. When you step into that, that grace becomes your inheritance. That grace becomes part of you, part of your child, children will serve the Lord. Me and my house will serve the Lord. It becomes part of your grace. For years I thought, then when I prayed, people got healed. And then that mindset was broken. Now I cannot stop praying for the sick. There was a season, not now, not a bit lazy, I think. There was a season that I always look for somebody who was sick. You know why? I want to demonstrate the grace of God. What happens when you serve the Lord? You glorify the Father. You glorify the Father. That's what I'm a big fan of, seeing God move in a powerful way, in a healing medical science. I wonder why. If we don't heal the sick, Samjit, let me ask you, who's going to heal the sick? Not your grandfather. If we don't heal the sick, the devil actually gets glorified. Why? People die in the curse and sickness. That is not the will of God. Jesus died so that people can be free. That's why I'm suggesting to you, your hands as a power, as ability and grace to make an impact to this world. And for we can either, it's like, you know, it's like a switch, you know. All you need to do is activate. Turn on the light and the light comes. My friend, you are the city on a hill. Matthew says you are the light of the world. You, there's a light inside of you. When the darkness sees the light, it knows it cannot mess up with you. Why? Because you are the light. Somebody say, I am the light of the world. And when you give to the Lord, when you serve, there's a place that you plug in yourself, whether you feel it or not. There's so many options. Right at the back church, when you're going up, there's a barcode. You can see different ministry, you know, in JB Church that's happening. When you give something to the Lord like this, I tell you what, God takes your gifts and He multiplies it. God multiplies it. Oh, I tell you, when you give the Lord a little thing, well, just Lord, I give you this. I give you, you know, drive van for Rohingya. Oh, Lord, I come early to do this. Lord, I want to be part of this. Lord, I want to do this. Lord, even outside, Lord, I want to serve you. Therefore, I want to, you know, gather some people and do Bible study. However it looks like for you, when you do that, God will multiply your gift. Somebody say, amen. That's the heart of God for church. Calvary City Church. Remember, we are not just a consumer. Look to the person neighbor and person to you and it's next to you and say, you are not just a consumer. To the empty chest, never mind, let you, they will come. You're not just a consumer, but you have something to give. You have something to give unto the Lord. And God earnestly, you know, God earnestly wants you to be part of that serving. There's so many things we can talk about in serving. There's so many things, you know, we can talk about. What happens when you serve the Lord? What happens when you serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul and strength? What happens, church? Let me tell you something. When you serve the Lord, like I said earlier, the presence of God becomes so real in your life. There's a part of God you encounter when you serve Him. Number two, all the things that the world is looking for, all these things, whether health, finance, blessing, favor, whatever, all this thing they know you look for outside, when you serve the Lord, they will run coming after you. They will come running after you. I've been serving the Lord for years now, whether full time or not. I tell you, we have never run out of bread on the plate. God has always come through. In fact, more than we can ever ask or think for. I've never, in the last couple of years, so faithful. God is so faithful. I don't even have to worry about how much money we have in the bank. It's not that I have 10,000 million, okay? But the little we have, whatever we have, God has been faithful. God has been faithful. What happens when you serve God? Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Why? Serving become an inheritance. You serve. Your children start serving. Your children start serving. And your generation will change. You become a priesthood in the kingdom of God. They will catch the anointing from you. My father served me. My grandfather. That's one of my passions when I'm very old. Okay, actually, I want to die very old, you know, like 100 years. Why? I want to sit with all my grandkids and say, tell them how I serve the Lord, how I encounter God. I want to tell all my grandkids that, you know, you can serve God and you can encounter living God. Leave legacy through serving the Lord. Legacy. Legacy unto the Lord. It's so powerful that you live from that place. You know, when I step into my end of my life, we are going before the King. That I, you know, he looks at us and say, Jonathan, through your weaknesses, through your all the things that you have learned, you have been faithful and good servant. That's our reward. Would you want to leave a legacy for your children? What you want to leave a legacy, you need to get your hands into the work of the Lord. You need to get your hand. If you don't know where to plug, come and talk to one of us. And recently as a team, we've been praying, Lord, give us wisdom. We've been praying, you know. We're praying early morning. We say, Lord, give us wisdom to help your people to serve you, Lord. That's the posture of our pastors. Lord, help us, give us wisdom to plug in. And the least you can find to serve is to come together and pray. The beginning, come together, the time of prayer, in prayer meeting or whatever. You just take some time off. In that sacrifice you do, the Lord come through. Become serving, become your inheritance. I tell you, when that happens, your children will become a man and woman of God. Your children become a daughter of a woman of God. A son that walks with the Lord. A children that walks with the Lord. How many of you feel like your children are not really walking with the Lord? Instead of complaining, instead of telling them what to do, what not to do, you get your hand into God's business. You get your hand, your feet into God's business. I tell you something. The breakthrough that you receive in serving, they will catch it. It will touch them. Amen. How do I know that? I remember my grandma was telling a story that my last uncle, I will end with this. My last uncle in my family was so messed up. So in other family, all my uncles were serving the Lord as they were growing up, serving the Lord. My grandma got saved and all my aunties got saved. Everybody in my family, my dad's side, all saved. And my one uncle was actually very rough. He drinks, come back, very rough. He walk away from the Lord, deliberately walk away from the Lord. My grandma will pray, and she will serve the Lord, you know, in the church. You know, after service, they'll have a hospital corner, right? My grandma will cook food and, you know, give them. That's like serving like that, you know. And they'll fetch people for, you know, in the car, van or whatever. Those days, okay, these days look a bit different, right? So, and she, as she does that, she said, Lord, I nail my son to the cross of Jesus and he become a son of God. He'll become a preacher because I'm serving you. That's what she said. Lord, as I'm serving you, my son will serve you. And she keeps saying that over the years. And my grandma would pray early morning. My uncle would come back in the night sneaking in, you know, drunk. You know, he was involved in gangsterism. You know, and he would come and sleep. Your grandma pray, mention my name and pray. And as she pray and serve the Lord over the years, so it took some years. One day the Lord met my uncle. The Lord met him face to face and said, his name is Ramu. He said, Ramu, serve me. That's it. He left everything. And now he's been doing ministry in Gimeche for 25 years and seeing people come to save. And now he just got into politics. Actually, he's in the politics. He's a pastor that get involved in politics. Now he's influencing the whole Pakan, you know. Now he's like the gangster, but in a good way. How God redeems life. Amen. Why? Because my grandma served and demanded the Lord. Lord, ask the Lord, would you make my son a man and woman of God? It becomes your inheritance. I believe tonight, Calvary City Church, this morning, God has a legacy for you. God has a legacy for you that your children, that your family, our family will be known as a woman and man and woman of God that will walk with the Lord on earth. And they'll serve the Lord and preach the gospel. Amen. I want to end with this. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1 says, walk. Okay, can I have the musician? Walk worthy of the calling of God in your life. Walk worthy of the calling. You can pray this prayer today. Lord, make me worthy of my calling. Where do you want me to serve, Lord? How do you want me? Call me, Lord. And know as a church we are called out. Ask God to reassure your personal calling. Can we do that? Why don't you stand to your feet as we worship the Lord? Come on, why don't you stand to your feet? Let's make a fresh commitment to the Lord. Say, Lord, help me to recognize my calling. One more time. Help me to recognize what you have given me and give back to you. Can we do that? Come on, every eye is closed. Come on, worship team. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.